Welcome to Slay, the podcast where we dive into all aspects of female health, fitness, and life. I'm your host, Louise Hazel, and in today's episode, we're going to discuss the topic of lifestyle change. It doesn't matter who you are. Changing your daily habits requires a shed load of effort. It requires ongoing planning and commitment. Maybe you're trying to give up smoking, eat out less, or even transform your body. Have you ever started a lifestyle change and given up? Do you feel like this year is finally your year to implement positive lifestyle changes? If so, then this episode is for you. Joining me this week is a woman who is slaying her demons one by one. She's achieved a major lifestyle overhaul, and I've been watching her nonstop over the past year, making crazy progress in the gym and transforming not only her body, but her overall health. It's Phoebe Acho, also known on Instagram as Breaking Up with Obesity. Phoebe, how are you?
I am great. I can't complain.
Oh, brilliant. Thank you for joining us on the Slay podcast. I've been deep diving you. I've been like sliding in your DMs. I've been all up in your comments section. I've been probably one of your number one fans for a hot minute now. So I'm so excited to jump on and have this conversation. Now, on Instagram, you go by the handle Breaking Up with Obesity, and I want to give people a context as to how we know each other. We first connected back in the, I would say, like spring, summer of 2020.
Yes.
George Floyd.
Yes.
We were really trying to make some real pivotal changes post protests for George Floyd with regards to representation of BIPOC audiences, professionals in the fitness industry.
Yeah.
And from then I've been following you on social media. And so that's really like my, you know, my introduction to you, but you've been at this for a minute. And what I'm talking about by this is you've been on a fitness journey and a lifestyle change for a hot minute now. I went to your YouTube channel, there are videos for 6 years ago. Give me a little bit of a lowdown into the catalyst. What was the catalyst to you deciding to change your lifestyle?
I was diagnosed with polycystic ovarian syndrome over a decade ago. So I would say I was about 14 when I was diagnosed. And although it's so popular these days, when I was diagnosed, there was really no information about PCOS. So I was diagnosed and I was told to go on with my life. There was no treatment options. It was literally, we know what's causing you to gain weight. We know what's causing you to get the darkening of the skin, the leather skin, the skin tags. That big belly with the tire around the waist. We know what it is. But we have a way to treat it. I went on for another couple of years just doing whatever it is that I wanted. I played sports my entire life because
what
my dad.
What sports did you play?
I gravitated towards volleyball. My dad wanted me to play basketball because of my height, but I hated it. I really liked volleyball because I was naturally strong and it just allowed me to take out that aggression on the ball. So I had a powerful serve. So I just stuck with that. After high school, I went to college, and before I left for college, I met with my doctor and she put me on progesterone. That's something the female body naturally produces. It was exciting because for the first time I had a regular cycle. I had my period for 5 days. I felt amazing. And then I was taken off of it because it was just a trial. The trial was about 14 days long. They can't keep you on it for too long. After the trial was done, everything went back to normal. You know, I was still not having my period. I was still gaining weight. I was still active, but nothing was changing. So it really wasn't a treatment. It was just a trial. I got tired of being overweight. Around 21, I was diagnosed as borderline diabetic, and it scared me. The one thing I read about diabetes is it cuts your lifespan. And knowing that my lifespan would be cut because of this thing that I can possibly control scared me straight. So I signed up for a gym. They were building a gym in the local mall by my house. It was literally a 5-minute walk. They hadn't broken ground yet, but my best friend and I, we saw the sign and we were like, let's do it. It was $10 a month and I could do it. I was not employed. I was a broke college student.
Yeah.
But I was like, enough is enough, you know. The primary treatment for PCOS when I decided enough was metformin. If you ask a lot of women who have PCOS, that's the number one thing after birth control that is thrown at you. Mm-hmm. And it does not treat PCOS.
What symptoms was it giving you? What like side effects are you having?
Probably the worst, nausea. And this is a bit of TMI, but diarrhea.
Yep.
And you don't have to eat to be nauseous. You don't have to eat to have the irritable bowel movements. It was just really bad for the body. And I learned that it was something that was used to treat diabetics, but they were thinking of using it to treat women with PCOS. I was like, I can't do this. So I took myself off the medication without the permission from my doctor, which it made her so mad. But I lost the weight.
Like, I have to congratulate you for advocating for yourself. Because with my own struggles this year, I have ulcerative colitis and I've managed to heal my colon without the need for like Western medicine, but with my own lifestyle changes. So freaking hats off. It takes a lot of courage to go against our healthcare professionals, the people that are meant to be providing us with the best information. But what I will say to those people out there, you know how you feel better than anybody else, because you only you can determine what it feel, what effects medication have on you internally. Nobody else, you know, no matter what the papers say, it really is about how does this affect you day to day. Yeah. Now, I want to know about, what about the mental shifts, you know, making that decision for yourself? Like, who did you have to become? What did you have to leave behind?
I basically had to leave behind the notion that I was trying to look like everyone else. You know, you have these group of friends where they're small, medium, large. I was extra large. I'm a 5'9", big woman. Not just because of the weight, but I'm naturally very stocky, is what my dad and my mom call me. And I wanted, in the beginning, I wanted to be small. I wanted to be like the average woman, you know, petite, small waist, small shoulders, small thighs. And I chased that for a long time to the point that I got so small, I looked sick. And that's when I was in the gym and someone told me, you know, you're strong. Why not dig into that strength? And when I picked up the barbell, that was when everything changed. It went from one to be small to, I want to see how much I can lift if I remain consistent here.
Boom, bam. So essentially your aesthetic goal became more about what can my body do?
Yes.
And that's one of the things at Slay that we are a killer like proponent for. Stop, you know, women thinking about what does my body look like? That will eat you up. That will waste your energy, your time. Start focusing on what your body can do. Complete game changer. The results will come, as you well know. But take me back to like those first days of you starting out in that new gym, you paid your $10 a month membership, you're cooking on gas, your girlfriend's coming with you. How many times did you start over? Was there a stop start or was it a natural takeoff from there?
When we started with strictly cardio.
Why?
Because we thought it was the fastest way to get skinny.
Where did you get that information from?
I wouldn't even say it was in social media because it didn't really exist. I started when I was 21. This was back in 2001. I was on Instagram. We were reading it in these magazines. You know, every new year, the magazine tells you this amount of cardio will help you do this. So we decided to just be cardio bunnies. And we would do hours of cardio.
What a waste.
To the treadmill, to the bike. And then we would be drenched. And, you know, for us, sweat equals hard work. So every day we would go back and sweat and take our pictures and sweat. And yes, we lost the weight. But then the body just started looking at yourself like, I don't like this.
How did you feel in your body at that time?
I wasn't still happy. I was able to finally, the first time in a very long time, fit a size 12. But if I just felt like Play-Doh. There was no shape. There was nothing.
Soft.
Yes. That's skinny fat.
Like you heard me say, like, what a waste.
Yes.
Because I told, like, there's nothing that excites me more than when a new client comes into the gym and they're unaware of how athletic they are.
Yes.
And one of the things that I love as a trainer is being able to see the athlete in everyone. Having competed in the heptathlete, my event was 7 events. So high jump, long jump, shot put, javelin, 800 meters, 200 meters, hurdles. So whilst a lot of my events were power events, I was still having to throw shot put against the best shot putters in the world. I was still having to throw javelin against the best javelin throwers in the world. I was still training alongside these athletes on a daily basis. So I had a real awareness of how different athletes can perform. So when we come to the gym, I'm always sizing people up. I'm like, you, my dear, are a discus thrower. Let's train you as such. I want to talk to you about motivation. So you obviously started out cardio bunny. Mm-hmm. No, you're losing a ton of weight, but not really feeling yourself. You know what I mean? Not necessarily feeling like things are right. How do you stay motivated? How do you keep going? How do you break the cycle of cardio and try something else? Like, what keeps you driving?
So one thing that kept me motivated was I didn't want PCOS to prevent me from just having a normal life.
What's a normal life to you?
I want to have children. I don't want my PCOS to possibly lead to me having diabetes, breast cancer, cervical cancer, uterine cancer. Because what we don't know is, yes, PCOS makes us look terrible from the outside if you let it. But from the inside, it's 100 times worse. It goes beyond the skin tags, the darkening of the skin. It gets to the point where there's some women who have cervical cancer, and it's not because it runs in their family or they were unhealthy, but it's because they have PCOS. It's not because they were overweight or super skinny and just led a very unhealthy lifestyle, but PCOS leads to that. And that has been my motivation till this day. I want to treat this disease as natural as possible for as long as I can.
How has it made having the PCOS, how has it made your training, your day-to-day goal of lifestyle change, health change, more difficult? Like, what have those hurdles been for you on a daily basis?
So with PCOS, we naturally suffer from fatigue. It doesn't matter if I sleep for 8 hours, eat a well-balanced meal, drink water, take my vitamins, I will naturally suffer from fatigue. So it's gone beyond being motivated. It's literally dragging myself off the couch after work and driving back to the gym. I drive an hour back from work and 45 minutes to the gym. And a lot of people ask me, how do you do that? I'm like, I'm choosing myself. That's how I do it. There is no motivation there. The fatigue is telling me to sit down and get in bed, but the determination I have to continue to treat this disease naturally is what pulls me into the gym. It's no longer motivation. It's literally, it's a lifestyle.
I was going to say, it sounds like a desire to actually survive. Yes. But not only survive, not only just like, okay, I'm going to get through this day. It sounds like you have a real desire to thrive in your life. Like, and to be at your best and to be.
Yes, it's Black women thriving with PCOS. That's what it was. I don't want to just survive and treat it and then maybe try something else later on. I want to thrive with it. And I don't want to tell people I have PCOS, or, but I want to tell them I'm controlling it.
Why do you think women are so accepting of these, you know, the issues medically that we're diagnosed with? And I feel like so many people these days are just like, oh, I, you know, that's just what it is. I'll just give up now.
It's a cop-out.
What are the challenges, like, what's been the hardest part for you in that, in it being a cop-out? Like, you know, was there a moment where you were like, come to God moment? Like, I'm doing it my way.
With the metformin. The first time I was on metformin, I lost almost 60 pounds, but it was on metformin. But it got to the point where I was like, I cannot be this sick just to be skinny. So I took myself off of the medication and I gained all the weight back. And I said, you know what? This just means that I have to figure out how to do it myself.
With the were you getting like the appetite suppressing effects with the metformin?
Yeah. I know for a fact I was under eating. My hair was brittle. My nails were brittle. My skin looked bad. And people think weight loss automatically solves your PCOS symptoms. It does not treat it. If you don't go to the root cause of it, you're not going to treat it with just weight loss, which is why a lot of doctors still don't understand this disorder. It's not treated with weight loss.
Do you feel like you understand your root causes?
Yes.
What are they, if you don't mind me asking?
For me, sugar in any form. Fruits, plant-based sugar, anything that has sugar is not good for me.
How does your body respond to that?
I become more sluggish. I crave more. My skin breaks out. And I notice that my cycle becomes later, 2 weeks later, sometimes a whole month later. Inflammation, I can feel it in my knees. I can feel it in my elbows. My joints are a lot achy. I'm more bloated. So my body reacts to it. And that's when I look at myself, I'm like, you've had too much sugar. Need to go back. Same thing with gluten. I'm not overly sensitive, but too much of it will set me back.
Mm-hmm.
And it's taken years to learn that. And if a lot of women were just patient with their body, they could learn what does that to them, what the triggers are.
What do you think prevents them from being patient with their bodies?
Because you don't get instant result with patience.
And what effect does that have on you mentally when you're not getting those results?
Comparison. With social media now, when you're not getting that instant result, you immediately hop onto social media to find another thing that you can try. Oh, you know what? Keto didn't work. Let me try something else. Maybe Atkins. Maybe Whole 30. You know, maybe I should go back to keto. I just didn't give it enough time. And it's just like you're constantly hopping. That yo-yoing is the reason we don't see those results.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're not being patient with your body or even the diet. There's nothing wrong with dieting, but you have to be patient with it.
So talk to me about the changes that you made. Because obviously it sounds like you were in this cycle of leaning into the propaganda around weight loss, the social pressures to be smaller, the information coming from your doctor that you need to be taking certain medications. Nothing that sounds particularly empowering.
No.
How did you break that cycle? And, you know, what was it that you were changing?
I started documenting it. Started my Instagram in 2011, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And my first video is me trying to jog.
Mm-hmm.
I was jogging in the summertime. And I said, I'm going to share this journey because there's no one out there like me.
Mm-hmm.
So it was in my determination to be that one person who was authentically sharing their journey to treat their PCOS that pushed me. It was literally, I was pushing myself unknowingly. And I still have old videos of myself crying and just telling people the reason having PCOS was so hard is because at times I was ashamed to tell people that. You know, PCOS gives you extra testosterone. To me, that reduced who I was as a woman. It makes you facial hair. That reduces as a woman. So for a lot of reasons, PCOS was stealing my femininity, but that was just in my head. So with sharing my journey, I was able to take that back. And taking that back, it just helped me find different avenues for like things that I enjoyed. And I picked up the barbell, and that was the one thing that I stuck with.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and it was amazing.
You were talking about taking back that power. Let's talk about that power. I want some stats. I want your heaviest squat. What is it? Give me them numbers.
Squat was 425.
Bench press.
Heaviest bench press was 285.
What are you currently bent over rowing?
I haven't done over rows in a long time.
Done them in the past 8 weeks. I've seen them.
Yeah. It was 4. No, deadlifts was 455.
455. Nice. These are
stopping to be safe.
I've got your in-body here. I screenshotted your in-body. So when people, when Phoebs is talking about her numbers, I'm like, oh, she's 5'9". Mm-hmm. I know your muscle mass. Mm-hmm. I know what your fat mass is. On the day of the 16th of October, 2017, I've got your in-body here. I am a coach through and through. These are some amazing statistics. And the interesting thing is I'm looking at your in-body, I'm like, you didn't just break up with obesity at that time. You beat obesity.
Yeah.
So, I've been talking about this a lot on the Slay podcast, really trying to get women to understand that our BMI in terms of our metrics with regards to obesity and what puts us in the danger category is a rubbish, useless dog trash measurement. and that our body fat percentage is, you know, where we ought to be focusing. And on that day, you were clocking, you were 31% body fat.
Yes, that's so accurate because that's how much it is on the scale.
But also, not only that, you were telling me how, you were literally telling your audience how that's actually up. You were 26% body fat that summer.
Yeah. So I have gotten very low, but it was in an unhealthy way with keto.
Got you.
So I gained it.
And I'm still looking at that muscle mass and I'm like, her jeepers, damn, that is some strength and power right there. And, you know, one of the things that I love about watching your story is the fact, like, I not only does it motivate my clients, it motivates me. When I'm watching you lift, like, and just, you know, you can see for those 12, 15 reps, you can see for, like, that weight is being shifted. Like, there's nobody can tell you shit. Let's put it that way.
No.
Like, when you're in the gym, you can tell you're in the zone. You can tell you're in your power. And more importantly, you're doing it for you and you're doing it your way. And it, like, the difference between, tell me about the difference between cardio training for you versus the strength training. What has that done for you and your body?
Cardio is a drag. I am not a fan of it, but I now understand the benefit of it.
What are the benefits for you?
For me, it has been my cholesterol. When I was about 21, I was diagnosed with high cholesterol. I wasn't put on medication because they knew how active I was. So they gave me the opportunity to try and bring it down myself with just diet and exercise. I did it. And the only thing that changed was I added more cardio. And it wasn't hours of cardio. It was just steady cardio. It didn't matter if I was on the bike, the Stairmaster, which I hate, or the treadmill. But I bought it down by just adding in more cardio. My high blood pressure. It's down. I went to the hospital the other day because I was having some nerve pain and they told me your blood pressure is perfect and so is your heart rate. I was like, what? She was like, your heart rate is perfect. I was like, oh. She was like, do you work out? And I just smiled at her and I nodded my head. She said, you must work out hard. And I was like, a little bit. But it's just hearing those things that means more to me. It's not, oh, you can lift almost 500 pounds. It's not that. It's knowing that I'm doing everything I can to ensure that the inside of my body is just as immaculate as the outside.
100% flames. Like, you know, you're literally speaking my language. When I'm hearing you, I'm hearing longevity. I'm hearing sustainability. I'm hearing I want to be fit for the next 50 years, not the next 5 minutes. You know, those things are where I think we might be headed as women. I feel like more women are starting to cotton on to their own bodies. Maybe it's just our generation. Maybe the generation after us has to still go through a few things to learn because they're growing up with all of this overstimulation from social media and pressure. But I definitely think, you know, women who are in their 30s are now starting to really listen. And more importantly, we are the generation that have the benefit. If you think about our mother's generation, heaven forbid our grandma's generation who didn't have Instagram, didn't have Google, didn't have access to all this information. We're really the ones that have the leisure time, the free time, the financial freedom and independence to a certain extent to be actually able to put these things into effect.
Yes.
If you think about our mums, you know, that was when they were growing up, it was freaking aerobics. That was literally the start of actual physical activity.
Yeah, till this day.
Nuts. I want to know a little bit more about your goals. So 2024, obviously, we're at the top of the year now. Yes. Like, what have you set for yourself? Is it a health goal? Is it a performance goal? Is it a lifestyle goal? Give me the big one.
It's actually all three. So for performance, I want to increase I had knee surgery in 2021. And I was told I would never be able to do, like, squats, full-range squats, because I have less cartilage in that knee. I've already defeated the odds. I'm doing lateral lunges, going deep.
May I ask what they did surgery-wise? Did they just go in and clean up, or was it?
Yes. So I had a, they cleaned out all the cartilage pieces that were in there because it was just causing so much pain. They did try to reconstruct it, but there just was too much damage. So he told me, we'll leave it as is, but if you continue to experience pain, I advise you get a total knee surgery. I'm in my 30s. That's not happening. Before I became an engineer, I was going to school for physical therapy. I'm not getting knee surgery.
Mm-hmm. Got you. I wonder where this like resistance to, you know, of I can do it myself. And more importantly, I'm confident that I can do it myself comes from.
I'm African.
Absolutely.
We don't do the whole cutting into the body.
Absolutely.
I still have my wisdom teeth because at 16, my mom told the dentist no. Mm-hmm. If it's not causing her any discomfort or affecting her overall health and quality of life, mm-hmm. don't touch it.
Absolutely.
And that's literally it for me with my knee. Mm. I can still walk. I can still squat and dance. Don't touch it.
Mm-hmm. So the goal this year was?
To increase my range of motion.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be able to sit deeper and to squat. I want to be able to squat down and carry kids. I want to be able to just sit in a Chinese squat without having to hold the ground to get back up.
How are you single? That's what I want to know.
I love it. I do also have a goal to lose another 30 pounds. I would like to get down to a comfortable 210. Mm-hmm. I don't do well under 200 pounds, but I also don't do well over 210. So I want to get to 210 and maintain.
Got you. What muscle mass are you looking at?
I would love to get down to 21%. Body fat.
What about muscle mass? Muscle fat.
I think I'm at 176. So if I could get up to maybe 180.
Of dry lean mat, got you.
I'm currently at 171.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm at 30% body fat. So if I could increase my muscle mass to maybe 180, 185, I would be ecstatic. Get my body fat under 25%, I would be just so happy.
I just want you to know that I am here for this journey. Anything you need from me, you just shout. Now, I want to know a little bit more about your daily routine. You're an engineer. You're a busy woman. That's a responsible job. You know what I mean? If something breaks, it's on you.
Yeah.
How do you start your day?
So usually it's 5:30. Get up and I prep my breakfast because I like fresh breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
I do the same breakfast every morning.
What is it?
With two whole eggs with turkey sausage or chicken sausage.
Protein.
Yeah.
How much protein's in that?
My morning starts around 60 to 70 grams of protein.
I love having this conversation. Look at my face.
Easily 60 to 70 grams of protein. And that's just with egg whites and the turkey sausage. Nothing additional.
Mm-hmm.
I keep it low carbs because I don't do well on carbs. So I do have a low carb tortilla. Mm-hmm. And I add some blueberries because I need the extra fiber and I need the antioxidants.
Mm-hmm.
And then I always have to have my coffee. So I have a French press now. So I also have my coffee going while I get ready, brush my teeth, put on my makeup, and pick an outfit.
Congratulations on the French press.
Thank you.
I'm excited for you. and how many times a day are you training? How many times a day are you eating? What are those intervals? Give me the lowdown. Like, how frequently are your meals?
Okay. So I don't do the 6 meals, 3 snacks a day, or whatever they call it. Too much eating is not for me. I'm not a fan of it. Mm-hmm. So I try to do my bulk amount of protein and calories in the morning, which is why my breakfast can range from 500 to 650 calories.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like a lot of food, but it really isn't. It's just a lot of egg whites.
Mm-hmm.
I eat a lot of egg whites. I buy cartons of egg whites. So I'll do a large breakfast around 10 o'clock because I don't really get hungry in the early mornings.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll have a snack, which is for me, a protein yogurt.
Mm-hmm.
I'm absolutely obsessed with ratio yogurt or Oatkeels. I know I'm pronouncing it wrong, but those are my two go-to. I'll have that. And then I'm drinking water throughout the day. I come home before.
Can I tell you what you have for dinner?
For dinner, I usually have
chicken and broccoli.
No.
But that's what you ordered this week. I saw it on Instagram.
This week I had that. But my go-to and my favorite is chickpea pasta with turkey bolognese sauce.
Mm-hmm. Got you.
Because the turkey has a lot of protein. The chickpea pasta has protein. So again, before I go to the gym, I'm having more protein.
Yeah, super lean, not a ton of fat.
Exactly. Because the 40-50 I have before the gym, I'm already close to the 190 I eat a day.
Mm-hmm.
I head to the gym, do my 1.5 to 2 hour workout, which is usually weights first and then 30 minute cardio afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
Come home and I have a rice cake and a protein shake because I don't like to eat before bed.
Boom, bam, boom. Job done. Day done. I love it. So you're basically doing one training session a day, hour and a half to 2 hours, cardio and weights. We know that like a lot of your weight training is obviously strength-based, what is your preferred rep range? Where do you feel like your body responds the best? Where do you get the most?
Currently, I'm with a coach because I decided I just needed someone to help me reach a few of the goals that I wanted. I'm trying to build my glutes because I'm African, but God didn't bless me with a butt. Mm-hmm. So I hired a coach to help me.
Shout out to coach. Who's the coach?
My coach is Elizabeth Brody. She is phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal.
What up, Liz?
So my rep range, we keep it under 20 for certain exercises.
Yep.
So if I'm doing bench press, we keep it at 5 to 8 reps because I'm naturally strong. So she's trying to control that strength because I have a tendency to go overboard.
How do you go overboard?
By increasing the weight because it's too light.
Got you.
So she's figured out that if she keeps the reps low, I can go heavy and not be curious as to see how much weight I can add on.
Got you.
But when it comes to legs, when we're doing split squats, it's anywhere from 12 to 15 reps.
Got you. So that single leg work.
Yes.
Yeah. It's, you know, to a power athlete like yourself, that single leg work is an absolute killer. It's like kryptonite.
Yeah.
It's like kryptonite
to
Superman. Honestly.
It's so humbling. Split squats are, I thought I was strong until they gave me a dumbbell and said, a Bulgarian split squat.
I bet you're a machine off of two legs though.
Yes.
Are you a natural pusher or a hinger? Squats or deadlifts?
Deadlifts.
You're a hinger.
400 pounds in front of me after I finished an entire upper body workout, I could still pull it.
Eef. If I ever get trapped under the car, I'm calling you.
I got you.
So obviously you enlisted the help of Liz. Why did you reach out to a coach? Like, what was the decision behind that?
I was tired of just being strong.
Being
strong is easy to me. But I wanted to be a better athlete. I am not a professional athlete, but because sports have been in my life, my entire life, I consider myself an athlete. And I just wanted to be better. I wanted to perform them better. I wanted to move better. I wanted to pick better rep ranges because right now, Instagram and TikTok are littered with 4 sets of 12, 4 sets of 15, 4 sets of 10. And I was following that. And I was like, enough is enough. You can't grow like this.
How's Liz helped you?
She has taught me that there's a time to be strong, but there's also a time to slow it down and truly feel the eccentric. I didn't know what an eccentric was until she told me to slow down the movement. And honestly, it burns.
So we're talking in the eccentric, we're talking about the downward phase of a movement. Yes. So if we're thinking about a bicep curl, this is the contraction phase. Yeah. And the eccentric phase is the lengthening of the muscle. And this is where a lot of strength can be gained. Yes. So especially when it's women, pull-ups, an exercise that evades us all. It evades us all.
Yes.
So, you know, starting in pull-up position, doing eccentric exercises where you're literally starting in that contracted position and lowering is a really great way to help strengthen the lats and obviously build muscle in those muscles that sometimes just lacking, not getting the love that they deserve. And
grown and just look better.
God, it makes you sore though.
The eccentric, your muscles will look different from just being a power lifter and just lifting heavy. When you focus on lifting better with proper form, proper tension, proper just everything, it looks different. I can compare how I look today to how I looked when I was in my early 20s when I was still lifting. And the shape of my muscles, my legs, it looks different.
Are you getting more fullness?
Yes.
More definition?
Without having to do as much work.
Love it.
Yeah.
We like Liz.
Yes.
We love it.
Yes.
Thank you, Liz. So we talked about the fact that you're single. I don't know how. I would marry you tomorrow if I weren't married already. And, you know, this week, one of the things that I saw your latest social media post and the way in which, how do people typically respond to your content on social media?
It's been, so I would say 90% of my audience are positive. And 90% are women, which has always been my goal. I rather, when I look at my insights, I want to see that most of my followers are women rather than men. I started this journey to uplift women and to motivate women. It was never for the male gaze. I could care less about the male gaze because it's not helping me in any way, shape, or form.
Mm-hmm.
As of late, I've been getting some negative comments about being too muscular. How having muscles makes me less of a woman. Mm-hmm. And for years, I've chased this whole notion of PCOS made me less of a woman. So hearing someone say now that having muscles is making me less of a woman is so funny.
Mm.
And I'm like, I can't shake that anymore because I let that go. There's nothing that can tell me I'm less feminine on this earth.
Mm-hmm. Especially not a little man in the comment section.
Yeah, exactly. So it's been an uphill battle, but it's usually very funny because at the minute they leave a negative comment, there are women who rally behind me, and I just love it so much. Mm. I don't have to do that much because they see my work. Mm. They see what it is that I've done with my body. Mm-hmm. They see how I've done it the natural route. Mm. You know, there's so many medications that people are taking this day, but I'm choosing to go through the slower route. And I'm sharing that. Mm-hmm. And then nowadays, women love muscle more.
Mm-hmm.
They're no longer afraid of being bulky.
100%. I feel like we've been given ourselves permission to really see what we can do.
Yes.
And I feel like we're no longer like bridled back by these reins of conformity or what someone else thinks is beautiful or strong. Yep. I feel like actually like there's, you know, I feel like this is the era of a different level of blossoming for women, mm-hmm. like a physical blossoming.
Yes.
And I'm not saying, honestly, let's be really real. You know, recently with all of the weight loss drugs in the media, yeah. I think that's set us back and it's going to set us back decades upon decades. I've been posting, very openly about my thoughts and how disempowering these drugs are and how dependent we're becoming on them for our health when actually they're doing the complete opposite. So I really thank you for sharing like your experience and your journey because it really is so important that other women see that it can be done. It's happening. You're doing it. Like you're an amazing role model, an amazing inspiration. And also like just goals. I also noticed on social media, there was a post that I read and like I said, I deep dive. This was way back. This was like 2018.
Ooh.
You were all up in the stories when you were writing a lot of comments and thoughts. You were just like writing down your thoughts. This is what I think. This is how I'm pissed off at the industry, obviously. I'm annoyed that people are getting such terrible information. You said weight loss is not a prerequisite for personal training. What did you mean by that? Can you remember that post?
Yes. And I still say it today. So we love instant results. We see someone who was 100 pounds overweight and they're now 100 pounds lighter.
Mm-hmm.
And we immediately want to buy meal plans from them, fitness plans, mm-hmm. weight loss plans. What did you take? What did you wear? I will buy the shoes off of your feet, the clothes off of your back, as long as it gives me the same results. And I want people to wake up because you're being swindled.
Mm-hmm.
Your money is so valuable, especially in this economy.
Mm-hmm.
Money is hard to come by. It doesn't matter what you can do for a living. Money is hard to come by. And there are people in this world who don't care.
What's your advice to those people who want those quick results that have like, because let's be real, not everyone has 100 pounds to lose. Some people only have 10 pounds to lose. But those people who have longer journeys, you know, that expect everything to happen overnight. What's your advice?
Walk. Get up and walk. It's so underrated. My dad has lost over 30 pounds by just walking.
Mm-hmm.
And he survived 3 cancers. He's diabetic because of cancer treatments.
Mm-hmm.
He's still on 12 medications, but he's lost the weight. He's changed nothing. He just walks more.
Mm.
Walks 6 miles a day. I just bought him a new pair of shoes because he walked the other ones to death. It's so easy to just walk. For a lot of people, if you are heavy, it's going to be harder, but I promise you that movement is going to put so much shock into your body, not a negative amount of shock, but it is going to wake your body up.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And you're going to feel different.
More alive.
It's a matter of you literally walk from one block to the another every day. Mm-hmm. There is a change happening.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Ignore what the scale says and just walk.
Mm-hmm. That's the bare minimum. Okay, I love that. I love that.
Yeah.
Phoebes, with the Slay podcast, a lot of the times we end the show with a little game.
Yes.
Now, because you go by the handle Breaking Up With Obesity, we're going to play a dating game. It's called Date or Hate.
Okay.
I'm going to give you 12 topics that are fitness related. You're going to tell me whether you're dating them or whether you hate them. Are you ready, Thieves?
I like this, yes.
Okay, it's quick fire, so I don't want you to think about it too much. But if you feel like you've got anything to add, feel free to drop that in.
Okay.
Cardio.
Date.
Protein bars.
Hate.
Why do you hate protein bars?
Because they taste so bad.
They do taste like arse. Honestly.
Chalky. I tasted one protein bar by Arms Raised Nutrition that actually tasted like the cereal. It was delicious. Everything else, Quest Nutrition, I'm sorry, it's disgusting.
On like, here's what I will say. Like, is it not just eating cardboard? Like, protein bars are not the one. That's what I call survival food.
Right, it tastes nasty. It's like protein pancakes. The ones we make ourselves, we're lying. They're thin and they have no flavor.
Thank you so much. If I'm going to have pancakes, give me pancakes.
Buttermilk pancakes that are fluffy and thick, please.
Absolutely. If I'm having pancakes, you best believe there's syrup on them. If I'm going down that route, I'm going all the way in.
Thank you.
Okay. I'm glad we cleared that up. Early mornings.
Hate.
Really? But you wake up at 5:30.
Well, because I have to be at work at 7 and I work in another state.
Oh, blimey. You've got to cross the whole state line. Damn. In-body machine.
Hate, because I'm scared of just being tight.
What do you mean?
So in-body, you mean like just being, you know where you go into it and you lay down and they take your measure?
Oh, that's the DEXA.
Okay, which one?
The in-body's the one where you jump on the scale with the handles.
Oh, I like it.
Okay, good.
Yes, I've done that date.
Yeah, I know. I've got your results here. Workout playlist.
Love date.
Well, please send me your workout playlist. Yes. I'm renowned here in the Slay Gym for having the worst taste in music. I hold my hands up.
That. I can change that.
Please just send those over to me.
Playlist is phenomenal.
Oh, done then. I'll literally, you just curate us a Slay playlist? Okay, sorted. Done. AirPods.
Hate.
Why?
I mean, they fall out of your ears.
That's why.
If it's not over the ears for the gym, I don't want it.
Absolutely. I'm here with you. Bulgarian split squats.
Date. Yes, because they work.
They do.
They work.
But why do they hurt so much?
Plain, they work. My hamstrings look phenomenal. My glutes are sitting up a little bit higher. My single leg balance is phenomenal. I can't.
There's honestly so many benefits. So many. Proprioception goes through the roof.
Yes.
Four sets of 15 reps. Hate or date?
Hate.
Hate. Oh, tell me why.
That's just so exhausting. It doesn't, it just takes too much energy.
Takes a lot of time.
You could do the same thing with like four sets of five or four sets of eight, or even just a rep range of 8 to 10 with an IR of 3.
What's your favorite set and rep range?
5 to 8 reps.
5 to 8. I'm a 5x5 girl. Give me five sets of five any day long.
I was a power lifter and I loved it.
Oh God, so
I loved
good.
It.
That's like my bread and butter. Okay. I know you're a sneakerhead, but how do you feel about high heels?
I would date them because I love how I feel.
Fair enough. We know how you feel about this one. Booty gains.
Hate.
You hate booty gains? Why?
We hate it because I feel like it has stolen social media.
Oh, I'm talking about your booty gains.
My booty gains definitely date. Because there's something back here. There's something back here now. Something there.
Crocs, I've noticed, are a staple. Date or hate?
Date. Yes, date. Especially after working out.
Yeah, I've noticed, like, I feel like you travel to the gym in Crocs, you leave the gym in Crocs.
And work.
Okay, cool.
In the car to change my shoes because I don't drive with shoes on.
Okay, our final one. Date or hate? Controversial topic. Ozempic.
Hate.
Go on, give me the breakdown.
The fact that people are using it for weight loss, but I love it for the fact that my dad uses it for his diabetes.
Mm.
And who are also diabetic, and he uses them. It literally is for survival.
Mm.
I hate the fact that we are now using it as an easy way to lose weight. And yes, I said it. Mm-hmm. It is an easy way, because if it wasn't easy, you wouldn't be doing it with Ozempic.
Mm-hmm.
You'd be doing it the natural way. Mm-hmm. And I'll never stop saying it. I've had people come back at me and I don't care. I stand on what it is that I say. It is a cop out.
She said what she said, people. And more importantly, I think you have more than a right to say that. Why? Because you are doing it. Doing it, done it, done, da-da. Like, I'm here for all of the health. I'm here for all of the strength gains, booty gains, new sneakers, new men. I'm wishing you an abundance of all of those things this year. Happiness.
Thank you. Thank you.
And
thank
love.
You. Thank you.
Know that you always have friends over here at Slay in Hollywood. So if ever you're in LA and you need to get a workout in, please come by.
I will definitely do that now. I visit my brother in LA, so now I know where I can work out when I'm visiting him.
100%. You're a celebrity here. Phoebe, I just want to say a massive thank you for joining us. I think this conversation is so really needed, but also it's going to be so helpful to so many women who are suffering with PCOS, who are breaking up with obesity, who are worried about their body image, who have a long journey to go, who are genuinely wanting to improve their lifestyle, make huge lifestyle changes, but more importantly, health changes for the long term. You are an absolute inspiration, and
thank you so much.
Came to slay. Phoebe, thank you so much, my lovely.
Thank you for having me so much. I really appreciate this.
You're welcome. Take care, darling. That concludes this episode of Slay. I remember a quote once that said, "There are no shortcuts to any place worth going." Stay tuned for more empowering discussions on female health, fitness, and life. You can follow me at Louise Hazel, and you can follow Phoebe at Breaking Up With Obesity on social media. Check out the Slay brand at Slay Athletic, and don't forget to subscribe to the Slay podcast and leave a review if you haven't done so already on Spotify. You can get all of our tools and resources that I mentioned in our episodes on the Slay app. Download it now for free from the App Store.